RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Camp Casual. Family-owned and operated since 2014, Camp Casual is committed to bringing retro-inspired dishware and home goods to the camping and RVing community. Visit campcasual.com to see what fun products you can add to your RV, your campsite, and your home.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are lucky enough to chat with Brandon Polinick, 2017 Toyota Bassmaster Angler of the Year. Brandon just wrapped up his best professional year ever, and he's joined RVFTA to talk about the experience.
Brandon's story is truly inspirational and a testament to the powerful combination of hard work and dedication. Plus, he's not too big in his britches to give all of us amateur anglers a few tips for taking our fishing game up a notch or two.
You might think that someone has to be born with a fishing pole in their hand to become Angler of the Year, but we know that some folks just forge their own amazing path in life. You are listening to episode number 167. Meet Brandon Polinick, 2017 Toyota Bassmaster Angler of the Year.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Before we head into this week's featured topic, it's time for our RV News Minute, which is sponsored by our friends at Camp Casual.
Camping has never, ever, ever, ever been this cool.
And we mean it.
Yeah, no, totally. With the Camp Casual family of product continuing to grow, it's never been a better time to add to your Camp Casual collection. Camp Casual is committed to bringing retro-inspired dishware and home goods to the camping and RV community. All of their dishware is 100% BPA-free, FDA-approved, and dishwasher-safe.
And I actually have put them in the dishes all the time.
For years, we've been throwing them through the dishwasher. You can go over to campcasual.com and check out their 12-piece dish set, which has four dinner plates, four salad plates, and four bowls. All of them have unique and fun retro camping prints. We have a set in our home and in our RV, maybe. Just maybe. There might
it's
be
best
two sets.
To just have two sets of all the Camp Casual stuff, one for the RV and one for home.
And we've been using them for years, and they've held up to the wear and tear of our family. Plates dropping on the floor. You know how it goes.
We throw them at one another.
Yeah, sometimes they get hurled across the room. You never know what's going to happen. So we are heading into the holiday shopping season. So stay tuned in the upcoming weeks. We're going to have some coupon codes. We're going to have some special offers from our Camp Casual friends on all the different products. Camp Casual wants to thank you for welcoming their products into your RV, your campsite, and your home.
You know, when you say Camp Casual, do you know what I think?
What?
I picture our boys all with their own Camp Casual blanket in the RV.
Totally,
they will not sleep with any other blanket. And at home, they sleep with their Camp Casual blankets.
Yeah.
They walk around the house with their Camp Casual blankets wrapped around them.
I know. They're not going to be happy that we're sharing that with the world. It's true.
I don't think they always listen to the podcast.
I don't think so either.
All right. So let's do our RV News Minute. There was a big story this week that probably affects a lot of us out there. There was a huge recall of fire extinguishers, many of which are in RVs. So, Stephanie, can you give us more information on that and tell people what they should be looking for?
Sure. So on November 2nd, 2017, the Kidde Fire Extinguisher Company, that's how you say it, right? Kidde?
I hope so.
K-I-D-D-E. I don't know.
Well, we gave you the spelling.
Yeah, there you go. K-I-D-D-E. Well, so they announced a huge recall of their fire extinguishers. And if there's anything that needs to be working appropriately when and if you go to use it, it's a fire extinguisher.
Yeah, kind of important.
Yeah, so I really appreciate a couple of people shared this in our Facebook group, and that was really helpful. Thank you so much for doing that. And I really recommend everybody head over to the RVFTA, the group, the Facebook Facebook group and join, because it's a great place to be. You get nice, kind folks that
thank
post
you to Nathan
those.
For bringing that to our attention and posting about that.
Okay, so here's the failure in these fire extinguishers. They have plastic handles that fail to discharge and the nozzle will detach. Okay, so not good.
I know, not good. And then it's like plastic. Why? On something so important.
So the hazard, it says the fire extinguishers can become clogged or require excessive force to discharge and can fail to activate during a fire emergency. In addition, the nozzle can detach with enough force to pose an impact hazard. All right, what is the remedy for this recall? The remedy is replacement. So the company needs to replace your fire extinguisher if it falls into this recall. Now, how are you going to find out? All of the information is on the website, or I know people already that just called the toll-free number. The toll-free number is 855-271-0773, and you can call between Monday and Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern time. They also have, let's say, Saturday and Sunday hours, so I'm going to post the link to all of this information over at rvfamilytravelatlas.com in the show notes for this episode. It's really important. We have these fire extinguishers. Everybody needs to go around, and you need to make sure that if yours falls under the category of this recall, you need to get a new one ASAP.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's important to have...
This is coming from two people that have had a fire in our home.
Yeah. Frankly. And one of the first things that we did was make sure that there was the fire extinguisher in the pop-up camper when we got it. You know, on our very first... The very first time we used it, we were like, oh, is there the fire extinguisher in there? And there was. We double-checked.
And if you have an older RV, or you bought a used RV or an old pop-up camper and you don't have a fire extinguisher, go to your local hardware store and buy one. They're not that expensive.
Yeah. So it says that consumers that contact the company to request can get a free replacement fire extinguisher, and they'll get instructions on where to return the recalled unit. I think that that's probably pretty important too, because the last thing you want is fire extinguishers hanging around that don't work, right? Because somebody might think to go and try to use it during a fire.
Absolutely.
Or something. It's just kind of a bad deal. So let's all make, you know, a pact with ourselves to go and check our fire extinguishers.
Of really important safety things to make sure you're on top of when you go RVing, and that is one of the top ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm going to link to all of this information, all the recall info, contact numbers, everything in the show notes. So go check it out.
All right. Now, I'm really excited about this show. And it's a bit of a different show for us in a sense, but it really fits in so nicely. So when we went to the grand opening of the Cabela's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we were lucky enough to meet Brandon Polinick. And he is just a super nice guy, super friendly guy, very inspiring story. And he was the 2017 Toyota Bassmaster Angler of the Year. And he's also on Cabela's pro staff. So we met him at the store opening. We started chatting about maybe doing an interview. And here's where we really like decided we had to interview him. He's an RVer. He owns a really big toy hauler, and he owns a really nice F-350, I think.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And the RV and the toy hauler has become a major part of his travel and his experience on tour. And what a great guy. What a great story. I loved this interview, Stephanie. How about you?
I did too. We ended the interview, and I just felt so lucky to have been able to be inspired by Brandon. Not only did we want to have him on the show just because we connected with him in Albuquerque and we had a good time chatting with him. We got to talk over a dinner just about, like you said, the RVing and the travel, and we connected there. And he just seems so approachable and nice. You know, he had just won a major, major award in his profession right before he met him. And you wouldn't even know it if you were talking to him. He's so down to earth. So for all those reasons, it was nice to have him on the show. But then during our interview, he really did inspire me. I mean, this is just the story of someone who falls in love with a hobby, a passion, an activity, and decides to pursue a dream that most people would not have the guts to pursue. The end. Most people, you know, I want to be a professional fisherman. And people are going to be like, oh, please go get a job.
And the reminder there too is that, you know, we talked about, was there a plan B? And And there wasn't a plan B. I mean, this is somebody who put his heart and soul into doing this. And so often when you do talk to people who have had this level of professional success, you know, there wasn't that safety net to fall into. They were all in. And he really went all in with this dream. And I was totally inspired too.
Yeah,
I really was. And he's a good storyteller.
Right. And speaking of our boys listening to any show, any given show or not, I remember after we did this interview, we got in our car. We were going somewhere. And I was talking to the boys about this interview and about Brandon and about how much effort he had put into his dream. Like, that shows you, you know, what kind of person he is that he leads you to talk about, you know, his experience and his journey with your kids as an example. And we had a great conversation with them. And I said, oh, I can't wait for you to hear his interview about fishing and all the hard work that went into it. So yes, I am just so pleased that he agreed to come on the show.
And he gives us some tips for fishing.
Right.
And he gives for us,
and then there's
for
that.
Us
yeah.
beginners, you know, or for us, just kind of the average person that goes fishing, maybe a lot of you out there listening, we have some tips from the Bassmaster Angler of the Year, right? I mean, who better to get tips for about upping your fishing game?
Yep, but his tips are as down to earth as Brandon is himself. So that just sums everything up. We are excited for this interview. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be here with an extra special guest today, Brandon Polinick, who is the 2017 Bassmaster Angler of the Year and the 3-time Bassmaster Elite Champion and an all-around nice guy, as we have discovered by meeting him. Very nice. Super nice. And we're going to have a great interview with him all about his big year and his background in bass fishing. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
Elevate your family's road trips for years to come with the Pinnacle Luxury Fifth Wheel line from Jayco. The Pinnacle's hardwood cherry cabinets and trim stainless steel fixtures and brand name furniture will take your family's fun to the next level of luxury. And it's backed with Jayco's 2-year limited warranty. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. Welcome to the show, Brandon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here.
Well, that's really good to know because the whole world knows you as a fisherman. But when we found out you were also an RVer, we decided to snag
well, I know.
You.
we decided we were going to interview you before we even knew you owned the toy hauler. And
that's
then when
true.
We found out you owned a toy hauler, we were like, we got to make this happen. And plus, this guy's on fire right now.
Yes, even better.
Even better. So listen, take us back to the beginning. We'll work our way up to this incredible year that you've had. But how did you get started? How did you start this journey towards being the Bassmaster Angler of the Year?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question because to win Angler of the Year, it doesn't just happen overnight. It doesn't just happen at the beginning of January 2017, right? It's happened and started 28 years ago for me, or excuse me, 21 years ago for me. I was about 8 years old. I had always grown up loving the outdoors, loving fishing. And one of my mom's best friends actually got married to a guy that fished local tournaments around here. And she got it set up for him to take me out on the boat. And pretty much from that day forward, I thought it was so amazing. And the fact that there was a possibility that you could make a living catching bass and fishing tournaments, but that's what I decided I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So I really spent all of my time when all the rest of the kids are saying, hey, I want to be a cop or a dentist or a firefighter or whatever it may be, I wanted to be a professional bass fisherman. You can imagine the crazy looks that I got.
Yeah, well, let's be honest. We have 8-year-old boys right now, Brandon, so we're very familiar with that sort of like, I'm going to be a professional baseball player, right? Because that's what one of our kids is on that kick, you know? And as a parent, we don't like to crush their spirit, but we do kind of like to point them towards...
Son, you need a backup plan. And I'm imagining a lot of people saying that to you.
Hey, oh, yeah. My own mother even told me for a very long time, you know, I support you in this, but, you know, you need to have a plan B. And I would always look at her and say, Mom, why do I need a plan B if I'm not going to fail at plan A? And that was always my comeback. And I just, I don't know, I guess there was part of me that growing up, I just knew that I was either going to make it happen or I was going to spend the entire part of my life trying to make it happen, because it was something that I enjoyed so much. I couldn't see myself doing anything else. And so really, I mean, even at age 8, I started doing everything I could to get to that point, started fishing local club tournaments. And, you know, with the guy that got me started, his name's Jeremy, and fished some with him until I was about 14. Then I started fishing on my own a little bit more. And when I was 16, I joined what's called, then was the Bass Federation. Now it's called the Bass Nation. And that's really where my career started to take off, is I started fishing, you know, more regional stuff out across the Western United States, and spent 7 years doing that. And then finally in 2010, I had won the BASS Federation National Championship on the Red River in Louisiana. And that's what qualified me to fish on the Bassmaster Elite Series and fish my first Bassmaster Classic. And I'm proud to say for the last 7 years, I've done nothing but fish tournaments and talk about fishing.
Congratulations.
So not having a plan B worked out just fine.
And it would probably be better.
I frankly imagine a lot of guys like you that have tremendous success at something that's like a hyper-focused kind of sport, athletic type of thing, you just don't have time for plan B because you're really busy on plan A.
And that's the way I was. Like I was so fixated on fishing, you know, even at just the local level before I made it professional, that I knew that's what I wanted to do, right? I mean, every decision I made, like, I worked so that I could support my fishing habit, and that's where all of my money went. And so I knew that, you know, eventually the roads were going to lead to the right direction. It was just a matter of when.
Well, and they have led to the right direction, and we'll talk about your super successes still coming up soon. But, you know, I want to focus more on this time when you were maybe sacrificing a little, because I think another thing that people think when they look at somebody who's doing something that they do as a hobby, right, as a profession, it's like, gosh, how lucky is he? He gets to
just
fish
dropped
all
out of the sky and hit Brandon on the head.
And I'm wondering, like, what did those early years look like when you were on, you know, you said those early competition circuits and everything? I'm imagining it was less than romantic, right?
Yeah, it was, yeah, far from anything spectacular, and it was not pretty. I mean, there were times that I would spend, you know, 2 or 3 weeks sleeping out of the back of my pickup, eating nothing but just, you know, whatever was cheap on the road, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, dollar McDonald's cheeseburgers, tomato soup from hot water and tomato ketchup packets. I mean, like, I lived on just whatever I could, because I wasn't going to, I didn't need fancy things, right? I knew that I could live without fancy things in my life at that point. But I could not live without fishing. And so that's where I was spending all my money. And, you know, just doing whatever I could do. I mean, even when I was, you know, my first boat that I bought, I went out and I paid $1,500 cash for my pickup. Just an old, beat up, nasty, dirty pickup. But it had four-wheel drive. It was a little V6 that I figured could pull a boat. And then I went and I bought a $30,000 bass boat.
Put the money where it matters, right?
I love that.
Yeah, like that's where my priorities were. And so I continually was working and trying to better anything that involved my fishing. And so it was, even when I made it on the Elite Series, my first year on tour, I was still sleeping in the back of my truck. And I kind of coined the phrase the Tundra Suites, because I drive a Toyota Tundra pulling my boat. And it was coined the Tundra Suites because I was sleeping in the back of my truck, traveling around the country, you know, fishing for a living. And I loved every single second of it.
Was there a turning point? Like, is there a year that you feel like you could point to that was like the turning point between you kind of making all of that investment and that sacrifice and then feeling like all of a sudden, like, whoa, this might pay off? Was that such a slow, steady progress, or was there really kind of that moment where it hit you, I might really do this?
I would say it was definitely kind of just like a building process. Like, I could tell internally within myself, like, I was getting better and I was making better decisions on the water, feeling more confident and having more and more success. And I would say really in 2010, the year that I won the national championship, I just had an absolute incredible year. It seemed like everywhere I went around the country, I was winning tournaments. Me and a buddy, we had saved up a ton of money. We took his truck, my boat, slept in the back of his truck, and the two of us went and fished tournaments all over the East Coast. And at one point, we were almost out of money, and I ended up winning a big co-angler event on the FLW Tour and won $20,000. And that was how I bought my first Tundra Suites. And that kind of snowballed into this incredible season I had in 2010, 7 years ago. And that was kind of by the end of that year when I won the national championship and qualified for the elites, that's when I really felt like, okay, this is something that I can do. Like, I had finally qualified. And then at that point, it was all about just making sure that I made the most of all that hard work. I made it to the level that I want to be at. Now I need to perform at that level. And I would say, I mean, really my first event was the Bassmaster Classic. It was down in the Louisiana Delta in February 2011. And I ended up finishing fourth in that event. And that really, that did a couple things for me. It kicked off my career from a confidence standpoint for me personally, that I could compete against those guys. But on another level, on the business side of it, to really help bring my name out there to the masses. Because at that point, I was just a kid from Idaho that nobody had ever even heard of.
But then you became a brand.
And then I built a brand over the last 7 years.
What I'm hearing here, though, is that it wasn't necessarily like you were born with this amazing talent. And I'm sure you were born with talent. But I'm hearing that there were thousands of hours of work involved in getting to this point. Yeah. And maybe you packed in maybe 20 years of experience into a much shorter amount of time. I mean, does that sound accurate to you?
Yeah, I was literally spending every waking hour that I possibly could on the water, perfecting the craft of fishing.
Now, Brandon, you know, somebody in that movie on your website, you have a great YouTube movie that's on the front page of your website. I'll link to it in the show notes for this. So it tells the story of your journey to becoming the 2017 Angler of the Year. But there was this interesting little moment in there where an announcer calls you a prodigy, and I thought, oh, a prodigy, like, that young kind of like, naturally talented. And I thought, I wonder if Brandon considers himself a prodigy, do you think within the world of bass fishing, that's how everybody looks at you? Is that how you look at yourself?
I'm not really one to talk about myself a whole lot.
So we told everybody you were super nice. You're also super humble.
For me to consider myself, like, yes, I'm the prodigy, like, that's really weird for me to say. but I have been coined that, yes, by our announcer, Dave Mercer. He coined me that a few years ago because I really am, even though I've been doing it for 7 years, I still am one of the younger guys on tour. Most of the guys are in their late 30s to early 50s kind of range.
I bet you ticked a whole bunch of them off. Do you ever get the attitude? I maybe that's not true, but do you ever get the attitude like, oh, you're young and you don't deserve this yet? And I mean, to me, that doesn't ring true because of hearing that story of how much hard work you put into it. But was that part of the dynamic at all? Like, oh, it's not your turn yet, young man.
I think at first, you definitely have to earn the respect of the guys that have been there. Because you come in, you're a new guy, And even if you have a little bit of success, everybody is still kind of sitting back looking like, you know, okay, is this a fluke deal or is he really going to be around to stay? And even beyond just the success of it, it's how do you handle that success? How do you handle yourself amongst the other anglers? You know, do you just become this really cocky, full of yourself guy, or do you still be a good person in the process? And that's something that's really important. That's how you earn the respect of the older guys. And I feel like I've been in enough situations now and shown that I'm not here to mess with anybody or screw anybody over and do the right thing, that I've earned that respect of the older guys. And that's something that's really important out there. And it goes a long way. So I would say that, you know, the road to 2017 has been a good one. You know, I'd say that early success that I had early on in the Elite Series is why I got that nickname, the Prodigy, and because I was a young guy, I'd had success and was, you know, moving into the direction of, you know, kind of where I'm at now and really where I'm going. Like, I still have a long, long time to compete in the professional world.
Yeah, so let's talk about where you are at now, right? So Angler of the Year, you know, just pretend, that we don't really know all the ins and outs of what that, you know, what goes into actually winning that. I'm sure a lot of our listeners do, but, you know, educate the rest of us. So describe, like, what the competition season looks like. When does it start? How long does it go? How many of these competitions were you in? Because, like, I was watching that movie, and I was exhausted. I was like, how is, you know, I mean, it seemed like a lot of work.
And how many guys, and also how many like guys are you competing against? How many people are in this Elite Series?
Yeah. So there's 110 guys that compete in the Elite Series. You have to qualify every single year. Even the guys that are in it now, we have to requalify. And, you know, so there'll be about 75 to 80 guys that are in it now that'll stay, and there'll be about, you know, 20 or 25 new guys that come in from other qualifying processes. And we really kick off our season about February, and it runs all the way to September. And we have 9 regular season events within that, and then we have our Angler of the Year Championship. And each tournament is a points race, just like a NASCAR points race or something similar, where first place guy, it's reverse point order. First place guy gets 110 points. Second place guy gets 109, 108, 107, and so forth, all the way down to last. And so you accumulate these points over each tournament. Each tournament's 4 days. Wherever you place at the end of the tournament is how many points you get, and those accumulate over the course of the year. And it's a brutal, grueling schedule. I mean, being from Idaho, I leave home, and I think I was home 5 days between January and September.
Whoa. And where are you around the country? Like, how dispersed are these destinations that you have to go to for the different events?
So this year we were everywhere from Texas to, say, I'm pretty much all the way to the East Coast, all the way to upstate New York, and all the way over to Minnesota. So essentially, like, the entire eastern half of the United States. You drew a line from Minnesota to Texas all the way to the East Coast. We pretty much spend 9 months out of the year just traveling around in a big giant circle.
Wow. Now, you know, I know that now I understand a lot more with the point system. That explanation was helpful. So then going in, it seemed like, to the end of this season, I kept hearing in the movie, they referencing you being like maybe in 20th position, or it seemed like
you,
it was.
Were you, and did you outright win first place in any of these, or were you just constantly close? Like, how did some of
like
the.
It was like really, like you were in it, like in a fierce competition up until the very last event.
Yeah, so it's the competition has continued to get stronger and stronger every year. and so you have to compete better and better every year. And we have each tournament has its own like stages. So the first 2 days, Thursday and Friday, is full field, 110 guys. Day three on Saturday is only the top 50 in weight. You get 5 fish per day, cumulative weight, top 50 guys in weight, fish Saturday, and then the top 12 fish Sunday. And so I was able to this year make 6 out of 9 top 12s. And I won one of those, had a couple thirds, a fifth, and some 12th. And then my next finishes were an 18th, a 29th, and then I had a complete bomb at Okeechobee in Florida and finished 105th place, which did end up setting a record for the worst finish and still winning Angler of the Year.
I would actually, I would actually be proud. If I were you, I would be totally proud about that. Like, I would be like, I had one of the worst ever, and I still won. What happened that day? I mean, is there any insight into, like, what went down that day?
You know, it's really hard to say. I feel like looking back at it, I had all of the right clues to do really well there. Everything was right in front of my face, and I feel like possibly I was just going through the motions. Like, for some reason, I wasn't 100% focused in on it and wasn't making the right decisions, even though, you know, hindsight's 20/20 and all the clues were right there. I just wasn't paying attention enough to all those clues to put them together.
Like, you weren't in the moment that day?
Yeah, exactly. And that just really that whole week, I mean, I knew what was going on looking back at it, but, you know, I turned left when I should have turned right kind of deal. And it's, you know, simple decisions like that that easily could have cost me the Angler of the Year title, because I only ended up winning by 14 points. You know, so that's not, it's not a very big margin of error when you're talking 9 events. And I mean, that could literally be just one fish catch over the entire year.
How did you recover from that?
One fish catch out of all of them.
Right. Yeah. That's super close. How did you recover from that day? I mean, how did you turn it around?
I've kind of always been a person that I feel like I perform better when I feel like I'm behind. And for that one, it was just kind of like a motivating thing. Like, okay, I kicked off the season before that with the top 12. I come in, completely blow the top 12 away, and finish 105th. Now I knew that I had to absolutely just smash them the rest of the year. Had to catch them incredible. And I just kind of went into it with the mindset that every single day I'm going to catch the most weight possible, not worry about the points, not worry about even the tournament standings, but literally just go out every single day, catch as much weight as possible, and let that land me wherever it may.
Yeah, I mean, watching you do that, I was so struck by how you approached. It was like every single fish mattered. Like, you know, when they were doing the montages, just you bringing in this fish after fish, I was like, oh my gosh, like you, that's when you realize that saying about your head in the game, you know? I mean, you think about that when you're watching basketball or baseball, but watching that movie, I realized like this is what it means to keep your head in the game. Like every single fish mattered to you when you're out there on the boat. And I feel like that's got to be hard to feel that way over such a sustained period of time, you know, and such long days.
It is. And it's hard for people to understand until they actually like live in that moment. And I think that's part of why I wanted to bring the video series to life, so that people could see what each tournament kind of involved. Because I understand that majority of the people out there don't understand what professional tournament fishing looks like, just because it hasn't been exposed to everybody, like, you know, football or basketball or any of those sports. And it's not a physical human-to-human combat sport. As you're not like physically competing against another human being, but it is physical because you're out on the water, you know, 3 days of practice, daylight to dark, sometimes 15, 16 hours a day, standing up there in rough water, rain, snow, whatever. And then the tournament comes along, and you have to be so mentally focused that by the end of the week, you're worn out. And it, because it does take so much energy to stay focused at that top level to compete, that, yeah, I mean, it, I'm pretty tired by the end of the week for sure.
So is fitness a big part of the part of this for you? I mean, you're a healthy, strong guy. I mean, do you take that part of it maybe really seriously, and that gave you an edge?
I don't take it as seriously as I could probably, but I'm definitely self-aware of it. We try to eat healthy. That was one big reason that we wanted to get the toy hauler, was so that I could pack elk meat in our freezer, and so that we could eat healthier on the road and have all those things that we needed to be able to do that.
Well, that's the perfect segue, Brandon. So let's talk about the RV, right? So you are an RV owner, and you just mentioned one reason that we are so behind in terms of RV life. Like, traveling with your own kitchen changes everything. It can make such a difference in how that feels to be on the road. But let's talk a little shop. Tell everybody what rig you have and tell us a little about it.
Yeah, so I'll explain it as well as I know, because I am a new RV owner.
I've well, now you know how we felt for the last 20 minutes, so we're on it. Now things are even.
Yeah, yeah. Now we're even, because that whole world is still fairly new to me. But we have the 2017 Keystone Fusion toy hauler. It's their 10th anniversary, so it's got a few extras, they tell me. I don't know what extras they even are over the other stuff, but you know, it's a 43-foot triple axle, you know, fifth wheel toy hauler.
Yeah. Do you, so you have the back garage, right? The enclosed back garage with the bunks back there and everything.
Yeah. So it's got a 12.5-foot garage in the back. It's got Happy Jack lift bed system. It's got a full bathroom in the back end, which was something that was important for us. And that's one thing that kind of limited our options when we were looking, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I knew, I've got a guy on tour, his name's Chad Pitkins, that travels with us, that also fishes on the Elite Series. And I wanted him to be able to have like his own space as well. So the toy hauler really fit best for us for that reason, is he could pretty much have his own space back there, have his own bathroom, his own, you know, queen size bed and everything. And that was kind of one reason we went with that model.
Now, I have to say, you said you were a newbie, and it's so funny. In the movie, at one point, you were stuck in a lane, and nobody would let you over to get around the accident. And you were sitting there, you're going, nobody's letting me in, nobody's letting me in.
Was he in New Jersey?
No, and then he goes, and then he finally gets over, and he goes, like, some redneck country boy finally let me over. And I have to tell you, Brandon, that's
so
what my
true.
Husband says. Like, we're in New Jersey, and he's like, no one will ever let you over in New Jersey. You got to go, you know, down south.
You have to get to, like, Western Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania or down south. And then everyone's like, oh, yeah, go ahead. I can relate to your situation. I'm going to let you in.
Yeah. Now I know exactly which video you watched.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was – I love that part. I was like, that is so classic RV moment.
So what do you – Oh, yeah. What do you love about having the toy hauler on tour with you?
Yeah. For me, being gone from actual home base so much, it gives us a sense of home on the road, and it allows us to have some consistency, which I think is big, right? I mean, I'm able to sleep in the same bed, wake up in the same bed every night that I'm out on tour. And it's those little things that I think at the end of the day, you may not think about, but subconsciously they're helping. And you know, it allows me to focus more on the fishing. I'm able to bring a lot more of my gear. And I think just having that consistency, the stability of having a home on the road, and even especially where I noticed it that I loved it the most is the, not even necessarily the tournament weeks. It was great for that, but it was the off weeks that we had in between, where maybe we had 3 or 4 days. Or normally we would have to be cooped up in a hotel or maybe a rental house. But now with the toy hauler, we just, you know, get a few extra days at the campsite, or if we like it there, or if we want to go try somewhere new, we just pack up and, you know, haul off down the road to a new place and we're able to, you know, stay with all our stuff. And like I mentioned earlier, being able to pack like all the stuff that we like to eat. I mean, that I say it jokingly that I bought it because I wanted to pack it full of elk meat, but that was a real thing for me, is being able to, you know, I like to hunt and I don't want it just to sit at home while I'm out on the road. I'd rather take it and use it. So I've literally, when we bought it and left home, had our freezer completely packed full of elk meat. And that's what we lived on most of the year.
That's awesome to hear. And for so many of the reasons you love your RV are the reasons why most of us love our RVs. You know, it's a little bit different, same but different. Now, at a tournament, are you staying at a campground nearby? Or are you actually sort of parking it on the grounds of the tournament and dry camping and boondocking?
Yeah, we've usually got a full hookup campsite. So, you know, 50 amp sewer hookup, the whole deal.
Yeah, you want to be comfortable, right?
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to have to deal with a bunch of that extra stuff. Now, that thing's amazing, and I could live off-grid for quite a while with the generator and big tanks and everything. But, you know, to have, if there's an ability close by to have full hookup, that's what we're going to do. Because it's so easy to hook up and just not have to deal with it until you're ready to leave.
Now, I hope you're not towing this with that V6 that you bought for $1,500. So there had to be a truck upgrade along the way somewhere. So what are you towing this bad boy with?
Yeah, I definitely did have to do a vehicle upgrade as well. And so I ended up going and buying a 2017 Ford F-350 dually. Absolutely.
He's not messing around.
Love the vehicle.
I can see you smiling. This is all audio, but I can actually see the grin on your face talking about this truck. So you love the truck too.
I do. I absolutely love it. It absolutely blows my mind how well it'll tow that trailer. And it's nice. Like, it's comfortable, to be able to drive that around the country. And, I'm happy with that purchase, and I knew I was going to need something big with that vehicle, so I just went ahead and bit the bullet and, you know, made that purchase, and glad that I did.
And you got about 8 miles per gallon at the best, I imagine.
Yeah, it's like 9-ish. Depends on how fast I drive.
you're beating me.
All right, so Brandon, tell me, in this past year, as you were this RV newbie, kind of going around the country, doing this for the first time, were there any destinations that really stood out, like the combination of the campground and the nearby fishing, like that just being like a place that it was awesome to be and that you would highly recommend people that are like, you know, really that are into fishing, that they could kind of go as an RV destination?
I would say probably one of the coolest places we stayed all year, and it wasn't even during a tournament, it was actually during an off week, is the Thousand Islands KOA up in upstate New York. And I don't know if any of the listeners have ever heard of it or stayed there. If you have, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but you actually drive out onto what is essentially an island out in the middle of Lake Ontario, and you drive down. It's just this one little road that goes out there, and I got my toy hauler down it, so it's plenty big for pretty much any rig. But you get out there, and it's this beautiful KOA island. It's got a boat ramp right there, and you're surrounded 360 degrees almost, other than the road that goes to the island, surrounded by Lake Ontario. And, you know, in July, August, the weather there is incredible. That's probably my favorite place that we've been so far.
Well, I've heard people rave about it there, and now I feel like we've got
to put it on. Yeah, you're inspiring us. I mean, we've definitely heard of that one. We want to get there, too.
Sounds awesome. Yeah. All right. Now, Brandon, we are going to be back in a second, because even though we want to talk about all the RVing and we love that stuff, we also know there's listeners out there that want to be Brandon Polinick, right? They want to up their fishing game, and you're going to give them a couple of tips. Stay tuned, everyone.
welcome back to the show, everybody. We are really excited to be back with Brandon Polinick, the 2017 Bassmaster Angler of the Year and three-time Bassmaster Elite Champion and F-350 owner and toy hauler owner. And we could talk about RVing all day, but we want to get some fishing tips. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. If you are a brand new RV owner, Thetford has products to help you stock the camper with everything you need to keep your systems running free and clear. You've got AquaSoft toilet tissue. It's specifically designed to dissolve easily and prevent clogging. And AquaChem is going to keep those stinky odors from overtaking your RV. They also have drain valve lubricator, tissue digester, and level gauge cleaner. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
Let's dive right back in here. So let's get some tips for people who want to up their fishing game. I mean, if there's somebody who's a casually into fishing, what are some things you'd recommend to get them to the next level?
For me, I would say the number one tip I can give people is to just kind of keep an open mind. And that sounds a little crazy to people, but don't get caught just fishing one technique or just one area. Don't be afraid to go try new areas or new techniques, because the fish, they don't live on a time clock like we do. So just because maybe, even if you're fishing from the bank, you know, just because you caught them on a spinnerbait here in April in 2016 doesn't mean they're going to eat it April 2017, because they don't live by that time clock. They live by whatever Mother Nature throws at them, and that's how they live their life. So I always try to tell people to fish based on what the conditions are, and that just to know what the right thing is just takes time and research. But you know, fish conditions, fish, if it's sunny, it's going to be different if it's cloudy, or if you have clear water versus dirty water. And so that would be kind of one, the first tip. Number two, talking about dirty water versus clear water, just a general rule of thumb, if you have very clear water, generally those fish are sight feeders. So I like to use baits that are a lot more natural looking colors. If you're using soft plastics, it's green pumpkins, watermelon red, things like that that look real natural. Use a lot of soft plastics, or you use baits that cover a lot of water and move quickly, because those fish are able to see them from a long distance and come and chase them down. Now, it's the exact opposite if you're in dirtier water. Those fish all fish have lateral lines down their side. If it's a bass, see that little black line that runs down the side of them? That is their lateral line, and that's how they feel vibration. And they're able to pick that up in the water that we're not able to pick up. And so I use lures like a spinner bait that has Colorado blades, that's maybe a white and chartreuse that shows up really well, or a square bill crankbait that moves a lot of water, something like that, that those fish are able to feel the vibration, because they're not going to be able to see it as well.
Oh my gosh, and Brandon, I can't wait to let our boys listen to this. No, this is great, because it's not just for people who really know what they're talking about. Like, this is great for all levels of fishing, I think, because like our boys have just really started. They love it. We're at the campground all the time and they just want to do it so badly, but they do get stuck on like, oh, we got this power bait. And like,
and we're going to use it because we think it's cool. We're going to use it at every time of day in every situation.
Right. And I think that just you separating that clear water from cloudy water, even for our 8-year-olds, like I think when they hear that, it's just going to kind of change their perspective on bait and just choosing that, even at a low level, you know, even if they don't know what a lot of those words about Colorado spinners are, you know?
And you don't have to necessarily know, but there's this beautiful thing called the World Wide Web, the internet, that has so much information out there. You know, you can Google magic just about anything to find what you need when you have questions. But, I try to keep it really basic, general, because you never know who you're speaking to. And sometimes even as professionals, we forget the simple basic things that are the foundation of what we do. And sometimes we have to rely on those. Sometimes it's just simple meat and potatoes fishing that way. I would say one last tip for people that are just wanting to catch a bunch of fish, I would say is probably a drop shot technique. Extremely simple. And all you're doing is you're tying on your favorite hook. You can do it a bunch of different ways. Tie on your favorite hook, and you're going to tie it on. I usually use a polymer knot. If you don't know how to tie a polymer knot, you can look it up on YouTube.
Oh, we have a favorite. Yeah, we have a favorite knot website bookmarked.
As you said, there's lots of options out there. Yeah.
Perfect. So just make sure when you tie a drop shot, you're not going to cut your tag line off. You're actually going to take the tag line and drop it back through the top of the eye of the hook, so the same side that the hook point is on. So when you do that, it does two things. It rotates your knot down into the eye of the hook, so it protects the knot. But number two is you're actually going to use that tag line that you would normally cut off. You're going to use that and attach your weight to the bottom. And you can buy specific drop shot weights that just have a little clevis that you can just pull on, and it pulls the line tight, so you don't actually have to even tie it on there. And then, so that way, what that does is that allows you to do a lot of things. If you're fishing around grass or a real mucky bottom, the weight will sit on the bottom, but it keeps your worm up above. And I'd say probably just the best all-around worm is a Zoom Trick worm. And green pumpkin and June bug, those two colors can get you by for pretty much any situation. And I'll rig that worm on there, and that, it keeps it up off the bottom, and it allows you to keep it in one place. So if the fish are real lethargic and not moving a lot, you're able to move the bait but not move it out of their strike zone. Because all fish, depending on the conditions, have a set strike zone on how far they will travel out of their safe zone to attack a bait.
Right, to get a little something tasty. All right. So I think that based on just even those three tips, I think that we'll be able to kind of compile a little bit of a shopping list for our next trip to Cabela's, right?
Yeah, that's exactly true. And by the way, Brandon, I'm the guy at the lake who's got his cell phone out looking at YouTube videos while I'm fishing, trying to figure out what I'm doing. But I'm trying because I want to keep up with the boys.
Yeah.
Now, give some advice for someone who maybe gets a little frustrated. I mean, last time we went fishing, my son, Theo, did not catch anything. And it was like he was like existentially depressed after. I mean, he was mopey for about 48 hours. So what encouragement or advice would you give to somebody who's struggling a little bit getting going?
I would say, like, they're just fish. Don't put so much pressure on it. Like, I make my living catching fish, and I have had to come to the realization that even though my paycheck may depend on it, it is not life or death whether or not I catch bass, right? I mean, we're not living back in the caveman days where we had to catch fish to eat. Most of us can still afford to go buy a cheeseburger or something if we need to. So it's not life or death. Fishing is meant to be enjoyable. And you never fail. You only win or you learn. And so that's a big thing. You know, if you're not catching them, don't forget that day. Remember it and try to learn from it so that you can use it again the next time.
All right. Great advice for us all, for really a bunch of areas of our life, right, Brandon? Not just fishing. So thank you so much. I want you to tell everybody. I know we follow you on Instagram. We don't know a lot of the stuff that's going on, and we still enjoying watching you.
Where can everybody find out more about you on social media and online?
I've got a lot of places you can follow me. Instagram is probably my most active platform, and that's just at Brandon Polinick. And Facebook is the same, facebook.com/Brandon Polinick. My YouTube series that you were mentioning is BMP Fishing. It's what you can search, and it's got all my videos on there. Or you can just go to my website, which is www.bmpfishing.com, and that has links to all of my social media, email, YouTube, you name it. You can get it all right there as well.
Well, Brandon, I'll link to all of that in the show notes for this episode so everybody can find you there also. And I want to say that it was truly a pleasure. We got to meet you out in New Mexico at the Cabela's grand opening out there in Albuquerque. It was a pleasure to meet you. You are such a down-to-earth guy, and we just walked away so happy to be able to talk to you more on the show.
And I love the story's inspiring in so many ways. You earned it the old-fashioned way. And also just a reminder to all of us, if you work really hard at something that you want to do.
Go great, for plan A.
Great possibilities open up, and maybe we shouldn't all have a plan B. So
yeah.
Thank you so much for your time today, man. We really appreciate it.
And we'll look forward to following you through 2018.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Brandon. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. That was such a fun interview with Brandon Polonick, the 2017 Toyota Bassmaster Angler of the Year. And I certainly hope to have him back on RVFTA at some point in the future.
I just hope our paths cross again, because he was such a pleasure to get to know and to hear his story. And I'm glad we got to share it with everybody else.
And he inspired me. I want to go to that Thousand Islands KOA now that he talked about,
it's
right?
On our
I mean,
list.
Like, we are talking about booking that now because he recommended it.
Absolutely. All right. So, what's coming up in RVFTA News Roundup World? Number one, make sure that you tune in next week. Do not delay on listening to that episode. We are bringing you a very special gift guide with a little bit of a twist to it.
I think it's a bit of a twist.
Yeah.
And all the gift guides are coming out already. My God, it's like Christmas just starts earlier and earlier, and the holidays start earlier and earlier. But RVFTA is going to do our great gift guides too. So this was going to be kind of a unique one, and then we'll do our more traditional holiday gift guide after that. But you definitely want to stay tuned for that. But we have even bigger news. All right, so at some point in the month of November, we are launching our brand new website. So Stephanie, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. So, a little bit about it. It's going to be rvfta.com. All right. And so it's got a new URL landing page for the entire podcast network. So this is really exciting because both our Campground of the Week content and our RV Family Travel Atlas content are going to be combined for the first time ever in one location.
It'll be more searchable. It'll be more fun to navigate. You'll be able to dip into all the great content we've created over the last 3 years a little bit more easily. On the current website, it all gets buried. Here, it's going to be very searchable. It's going to be fun. And you're going to actually be able to participate on this website in a really cool, fun way.
Yeah. So one of our most exciting pieces of information is that everyone in the RVFTA community is going to be able to leave campground recommendations along with pictures and links. So this was a really important initiative for us because we love recommending campgrounds. Our correspondents are great at recommending campgrounds. But the bottom line is that there's only so much many weeks in the year, and we can only cover as many campgrounds as we can get to on the podcast. Now, what we want is for everybody to be able to share recommendations just like we share recommendations.
And Stephanie's putting the emphasis on that word recommendations. We really don't want this to be a place to trash campgrounds or to be negative. We want you to be able to come and see a map of the United States and see pins all over the United States of all of our favorite campgrounds that we love. So if you're looking for some travel inspiration, there are going to be campgrounds from all 50 states populating this very, very quickly, because we know our RVFTA audience, and you guys are all mavens like we are. So I really think this is going to become a really great, useful resource.
Well, right now, people are doing that over in our Facebook group. So somebody will ask for a recommendation for a certain area, and everybody shares. You know, just recently somebody asked for Nashville. There was a ton of great recommendations depending on what you were looking for. So what we need to do is, because Facebook groups honestly can be a little difficult to search. So sometimes things get buried and you can't find it. You know you saw something, but you're having a hard time sifting through all the posts. What's going to happen is you're going to be able to go right over to rvfta.com. You're going to be able to look at all of the recommendations. I'm not saying campground reviews, because this is not a campground review site. You're not going to go on there and say, oh, this is okay, but I didn't like this. This is about your favorite places to stay. places that are awesome and that you would send a family or friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't wait for you guys to populate the site with your own reviews. And I think it's going to just be a really fun part of the RV FTA experience. And the new website just looks gorgeous. I mean, it is just really a beautiful looking website. And we really, really hope all of you check it out and spend some time on it once we launch it. And of course, we'll let you know when we launch
it. We have an actual date, but Jeremy doesn't want to say
the date. I don't want to say the actual date because that date could get pushed back.
It's not like we're just thinking sometime in November we're going to get around to
November this month. It's been a long time in the works, and I think it's going to blow everybody away. I think you're all going to love it. So,
all right. A big thanks to all of our listeners in advance, because you're going to go in there and you're going to make that map, that campground recommendation map, such an awesome place for people to get good travel recommendations. And also a big thanks to our sponsors, Jayco. For more information about all of their 2018 models, head over to jayco.com.
And to Thetford to check out their complete lineup of RV accessories, head over to Thetford.com. And a big welcome back to our friends at Camp Casual. Check out all of their products. And it's an ever-expanding line of products with Camp Casual.
There may be new ones coming
that we'll be talking about. You want to head over to CampCasual.com. And we will see you all on our new redesigned, user-friendly website.
RVFTA.com. See you there.
RVFTA.com. Bye-bye. See you soon.